certainly is worthy, and that's why we're here today, to worship and honor him as we gather around the Lord's table. As I thought about the new year, I thought about, we don't know what the future holds. Everyone here in this building today faces unique circumstances as we look to the future. We're all facing a unique time together in our history, and we don't know what that holds as well. And it seems like this adversity is a cord that runs through the tapestry of life. And some have medical problems, others have physical problems, still others have faced financial problems. And some even have said that during the time of quarantine, our society is facing a greater number of interpersonal relationship problems. And we see that with regard to children, even in school. It's a day of problems. It's a day of difficulties. And it's not going to get any easier, I'm sure. And so with all that exciting, exhilarating, encouraging news, where do we turn? We turn to the Scriptures. No one is more troubled by the future than those who are facing adversity. And so today we're going to look at a man, an old patriarch, in the Old Testament, who lived way back, a long time before even the Scriptures were compiled, a long time before even the Holy Spirit was given to live within us. He lacked these two tremendous advantages that we have today. And yet, as we read this morning, we saw just a bit of his character. And so today we're going to examine his character, look at his circumstances, and also his commitment to the Lord. And I believe Job's path will resonate with us because we all face adversity. And we all face pain at one time or another in our lives. And so as we look at this passage of Scripture, we're not going to look at the thing in detail, but I just want to cover those three things. Let's look at, first of all, his character. Now, the writer, we assume it's Job. Some believe it's someone else. But we know that the author is the Holy Spirit of God. And he gives us an evaluation of Job. And he says, first of all, he was a man who was blameless. I assure you that this is not a word that means sinless. Job was not without his faults. He was not without sin. In fact, chapter 13, verse 26 says, "How many are my iniquities and my sins?" Job asked that question because he knew he was a sinner. And in chapter 14, verse 16, he recognizes he is a sinner as well. You see, the word blameless speaks of a genuineness and an authenticity. There it is. He was authentic. He was real. He was genuine. He wasn't fake. He wasn't a fraud. He spoke with integrity. Job walked with the Lord. And Job's life was real. Job had an appearance of godliness, and he was godly. He wasn't a fraud. He was not a hypocrite. His outward behavior was the same as his inward belief. He was a solid man of faith. He was blameless. And while the term does not mean he was sinless, it does give us a very good description of the author's evaluation of Job. He was blameless. He was also upright, the Scripture says. This word turns to focus a bit from Job. This word has more to do with the way he treated others. The word has to do with how he interacted with others. And when Job interacted with others, he was upright. He was a great guy. Whether he was in business or whether he was just with his family or with his friends, he did not double cross anyone. He was true and straightforward with everyone. And if you want a perfect example of that, we don't have time this morning to look at it, but look at chapter 31. It talks about his uprightness. And he says, "If I've done anything, let me know." Not only was Job a man who was blameless. Not only was he upright, but notice he was also a man who feared God. His blamelessness and his uprightness were shaped by his humble piety. He had a reverence for God. His daily life was marked by daily time spent with God, and God saw this. Look at verse number 5, if you will. It says there, with regard to Job, "And when the days of the feast had run their course, Job would send and consecrate them," speaking of his family, "and he would rise early in the morning and offer burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, 'It may be that my children have sinned.' And so therefore he wanted to offer up a sacrifice for them." He was a man who feared God. He reverenced God. And he was also a man that the scripture says here, he turned from evil. He turned away from evil. He wasn't somebody who got as close to evil as he possibly could get. He wasn't somebody who just kind of rode the fence with regard to evil. When he saw evil, he turned from it. He was a man who walked with the Lord. He wasn't quick to look at evil. The word includes the idea of turning from evil and repenting if he was involved and getting back on the straight path. He was a guy who wanted to walk with the Lord. That was his character. And Job was a sterling example of that kind of a man. Now, that is Job's evaluation, so to speak, or the Holy Spirit's evaluation, or whomever wrote this, that's their evaluation. But I want you to look at God's evaluation of Job, and we see that in verse number 8. Verse 6. Let's go to verse 8. "And the Lord said to Satan, 'Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, who fears God and turns away from evil?'" Interesting. The author's evaluation and God's evaluation are just the same, exactly the same. You find God's evaluation again, repeated in chapter 2, verse 3. "Job was a sterling example of a man of God. He loved God, and he loved what God loved, and he shunned what displeased God." Job was a man who had a heart for God, and he exemplified that as being a spiritual man. Now, there are others who observed Job as well. Job acted as a priest on behalf of his family. For every birthday that they had, every party that they had for his children, Job would rise up early in the morning and would offer a burnt sacrifice for each of them. And there was a time or event that he spent going before the Lord. For he says, why? Why would he do such a thing? Verse 5 tells us it's possibly they may have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. You see, there's no hint that they did, but if they did, he had that much concern for his family members that he would rise up early in the morning and make that sacrifice in their behalf, because he did not want a serious offense against his children. Job believed in the atoning sacrifice of God for sin. And he, like us, like his children, needed a substitute to atone for sin. And thus, he continually or regularly did this. Job was a very pious man. Now, let's look at Job's circumstances for a moment. Let's look at the calamities that beset his life. You'll notice that in our text we read that Job was a very prosperous man. In fact, he was the most prosperous man of that day. He possessed 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 female donkeys, and very many servants. So that the man was the greatest of all the people in the East. He was the I don't know. You name him today who has all kinds of money. But he was the wealthiest man. He was living the good life. He was truly blessed by God. And he was kind of the Wall Street tycoon of his day. He was wealthy, wealthy, wealthy. He was filthy rich. And chapter 1, verse 8 gives us a clue of how his calamities began. There was a day out of the blue that disaster hit. Notice what the text says. And there came a day. There was a day when all this happened. And there was a day, perhaps in your life. There may be a day in your life when the circumstances change in a moment. They do that. You're familiar with those kinds of days. I remember in 1992 when I got a phone call. Your wife's in the emergency room. You need to get here as quickly as possible. He didn't say this, but it was my way of thinking. Her insides are like scrambled eggs. Diaphragm broke and all this stuff, and heart over here, and she was a mess. Changed the whole complexion of life, just like that. That happens. It may be a crash of the market. It may be an automobile accident. It may be a phone call. It may be a storm. And for Job, it was Satan touching his life with all these calamities. We'll review them very quickly. His oxen and his donkey were stolen and his servants killed. His sheep herd and shepherds were consumed by fire. His camels were stolen. And his servants were cared for, they were killed. His seven sons and three daughters, perhaps their families, were killed in a windstorm. And all this happened in rapid fire succession. It wasn't just one phone call from the emergency room. It was call after call after call. And before one call was completed, it was the next guy speaking. He no sooner got the news of one calamity than another came. It was bad enough to hear one, but then disaster upon disaster, four of them. His possessions were gone. His children were gone. And bad enough to lose just one child, but think about it, to lose 10? 10. None of which could be replaced. This was a bad day. His circumstances were bleak. This was a real disaster, and this was a real calamity. He could never have a day like this again, could he? What were the chances? But look at chapter 2, verse 1. It says there was a day. Oh, no, not another one. Yes, another one. On this, again, day, Job was struck with painful boils from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head. They hurt so bad, he scraped them with a piece of pottery. And he sat out on a dump and a heap of ashes. Now, I don't have time to look up all these, but I want to just share with you as I went through the book of Job and describe what he was going through. The book of Job, chapter 2, verse 7. He had inflamed ulcers. Chapter 2, verse 8. He had persistent itching. Know what that's like? Yeah, we do. If you had the shingles. Yeah. So, what did he have on top of that? Chapter 2, verse 12. He had degenerative changes in his facial skin, disfiguration. Chapter 3, verse 24, he had a loss of appetite. In chapter 3, verse 25, he had fears and depression. In chapter 7, verse 5, festering sores that burst open, scabs covered, oozed with pus. In chapter 7, imagine, worms that form in the sores themselves. Chapter 7, verse 5. Chapter 9, verse 18, difficulty in breathing. Chapter 16, verse 16, a darkening of the eyelids. Chapter 19, verse 17, terrible breath. Chapter 19, verse 20, and chapter 33, verse 21, a loss of weight. Chapter 30, verse 27, excruciating, continual pain, turmoil, an upset stomach, and perhaps even diarrhea. And chapter 30, verse 30, a high fever with chills and discoloring of the skin, as well as anxiety. Things were really bad for Job. None of us, I don't think, have come close to that. In fact, after 2 days of his unbelievable loss, his own wife told him to curse God and forget about his integrity. She even asked if he was going to hold on to his integrity. She was wondering if he was going to still cling to God and be genuine and sincere and blameless in his faith. He was genuine. Her suggestion was to Job, give up, curse God, die. Forget about being the same godly person that you've been. Job, God's forgotten you. Job forgot being a solid man of faith. Forget that, she said. But he didn't. Job was having none of it, despite all the circumstances. Can you imagine? Let's look at Job's commitment. Job's commitment. Job worships God not for what God gives him, but worships and serves God because he's worthy to be worshiped. Think about that. He doesn't worship God for all the things he... And we have been blessed. You think about all the people in the world, and no matter what circumstances we find ourselves in, we are blessed beyond abundance compared to most of the world. And yet there's days in our lives where we just almost curse God and die because of whatever our problem is. Job didn't. Job worshiped God because God was worthy of worship. Job finally gets strength enough to get up. He tears his robe, perhaps symbolizing the pain that is tearing his heart at his heart. He shaves his head, symbolizing his mourning and perhaps an identification with those who are dead, because he feels like he is about dead. And then he falls to the ground, crushed by his sadness, and begins to worship. Look at chapter 1, verse 21. In chapter 1, verse 21, he says, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the Lord." Blessed be the name of the Lord in such circumstances. Similar, in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 15, it says, "As he came from his mother's womb, he shall go again, naked as he came, and shall he take nothing for his toil that he may carry away in his hand." Here we ought to be reminded of what Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. He says, "But godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and we cannot take anything out of this world." You've heard the old saying, you've never seen a hearse with a U-Haul behind it. You can't take anything with you. Job blesses the name of the Lord. He doesn't curse God. He realizes that all he had was from the hand of the Lord, and ultimately it would be all taken away anyway. You're not going to have it anyway at the end. And verse 22 concludes, "In all this Job did not sin nor charge God with wrong." Imagine. Job worshiped God not for what God gave him, but for who he is. And secondly, Job was a model of faith under trial. Job does not curse God, as his wife suggests, but rather the scripture says, you speak as one of the foolish women speaks. Shall we indeed accept good from God? And shall we not accept or receive evil or adversity? Imagine. The one he loved the most on earth even was against him. And yet, he loved the one who was worthy of worship despite all that happened to him. In all this, the scripture says in chapter 2, verse 10, in all this, Job did not sin with his lips. Job's piety was the result of Job's heart. God is worthy of worship in the bad times as well as in the good. We don't know what the next year holds. We have no idea. But he is worthy. Let's look at just a few lessons before we close. Adversity is a cord that runs through the tapestry of life. As long as you have life, you'll have difficult circumstances. Job chapter 5 and verse 7, it says, but man is born to trouble, and as sparks fly upward. Lynn Anderson sang a song in 1968, I never promised you a rose garden. Maybe you've heard of it. I never promised you a rose garden. Is there any way, as a way of saying, I never said life would be easy? The singer encourages her boyfriend to enjoy the good times and the good relationship they had because the bad was inevitable. Because it says, along with the sunshine, there's got to be a little rain sometimes. Life has adversity. Not to cheer you up or anything, but things may get worse as we think about this world. Since God is sovereign, we must prepare for blessing and adversity. Shall we accept the good and not the adversity? And worship is always in order. Always in order. Keep your focus upon God and his blessings. Never forget that what we just celebrated and what we're about to celebrate is a gift from God. God loves us so much that he came to this earth to die for us, to give his life for us, so that we might truly, ultimately be blessed. There's no greater blessing than all the world than to know that you have been delivered from sin by Jesus Christ. So whatever comes your way, there's always the greatest blessing that you have. What a blessing. Even when we face the worst of circumstances, we know that we are his child. We didn't bring anything with us, and we're not going to take anything with us when we leave. So be a person who is blameless, who's upright, who fears God, and who shuns evil as we look to the year ahead and the days that God gives us. I trust we will as we remember what Christ has done for us on Calvary today. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for who you are. We are just amazed as we look at Job, who had such integrity, who was blameless and upright, and who shunned evil in a day when he didn't have the Bible at all to help him. He didn't have the Holy Spirit living within him. And yet, he was courageous enough to stand up even to the one that loved him the most on this earth and to say, I'm going to worship God. I'm going to stick with him. He's given me life, I didn't bring anything into the world. I'm not going to take anything out. I'm going to worship Him. Father, help us to be faithful in our commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ, despite what may come in this day or in the days ahead. For we truly are blessed to be able to stand around, sit around this table tonight, today, and reflect upon what God has done for us on Calvary. Despite all the circumstances, despite all the troubles, Jesus Christ had the most, for He bore our sin on Calvary. And we're thankful for that. And we thank You for the gift He's given to us through Christ. If there be one here today who's never trusted Christ as their Savior, may Your Spirit speak to them and draw them to Yourself. And may they too recognize that they are sinners and that Christ died for them and that they can have life and have it forevermore if they put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ and His work upon the cross. For it's in His name we pray. Amen.